This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. For 30 years, Durham's Steepled Hayti Heritage Center has preserved and promoted African-American culture and arts. Just before the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, Hayti hosted a party for Durham's own Maya Freelon. It's her first art exhibit. This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. For 30 years, Durham's Steepled Hayti Heritage Center has preserved and promoted African-American culture and arts. Just before the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, Hayti hosted a party for Durham's own Maya Freelon. It's her first art exhibit in her hometown since she left her art school in Boston. At 23, Maya Freelon explores what it means to be black, female, and independent. The granddaughter of an acclaimed artist, Alan Freelon, and the daughter of Grammy-nominated singer Nina Freelon, Maya's own artistic star is rising. I went to Hayti earlier this week to tour the exhibit with Maya and to learn about a new form she's pioneered, something she calls hybridigital.
A hybridigital is actually the combination of traditional fine arts techniques, painting, drawing, sculpture, collage with digital art. And basically what I want to do in using hybridigitals is to harp on the benefits of both. So in a drawing or a painting, you can use detail, light and shadow, depth, and actual physical textures. But with digital, it's a little bit hard to reflect that just using pixels and zeros and ones on a computer. But you can also resize, reshape, color, and do a lot of easier things on the computer. So finding a harmony in both, and that's what a hybridigital is.
Okay, so here's an example of a hybridigital. Describe this for us.
Well, it's a mixed media collage, and like I was saying, it was easier for me to digitally make this collage with these images that were a bunch of different sizes. I could resize them to the right proportion and mix and match them, layer them, different opacities using Photoshop. And then I'm stuck with a flat image. So when I printed it out, this piece is called Out of Order, and I started to reassemble things and take found objects and work it back into the canvas.
Is it becoming more complicated and more difficult for artists now that you have more media to work in?
It's not becoming more difficult. It's actually becoming easier to try new things, but it is a little bit more difficult to define it. And that's why I've attempted to use the term hybridigital as my form of mixed media to kind of make sense of what I'm doing.
And in practical terms, what that means is using some kind of digital art, digital work, but then you have to print it out in order to mix it with the other media.
That's right, because the problem with digital is because it exists on a computer, just as zeros and ones translated into a monitor. And when you print it, it loses so much quality. It's flat, you don't see shadow, light, depth. All of that is artificial. So what I've tried to do in my hybridigitals is add back what was lost through digital, but digital has advantages as well. You can resize things, color, change, or add something that was not previously there. And so I try and harp on the benefits of both to make a hybridigital.
We've been talking about the output, you know, sort of the means of expressing yourself and the way the artists and with the, that changes as the technology changes. Do you think the changes in the technology, the fact that you can do this kind of manipulation, take these images that are already produced and manipulate them, has changes the way you think, changes the way you perceive your own vision?
It does. It makes me think about dependence and independence. With digital artwork, you are, number one, reliant on a functional computer and electricity. If you don't have that, you're not making anything. And I think becoming bilingual in traditional fine arts techniques and digital techniques, I'm able to find a rhythm and use both to my advantage. But if the lights go out, I'm still going to be able to draw, paint. And I encourage kids that I work with, students and colleagues, to learn both. Because and on one hand, digital, you can't go into the future without it. But you have to have something to fall back on as well.
I'm wondering how this changes the way we receive art, we as consumers who are moved by art. You know, there was a time when a painter had paint and a canvas, and they were representing a world that was made of trees and wood and flesh and blood, and that's how they represented things. Now, in multimedia, you're actually taking the stuff of our environment. You're taking TV images, magazine images. That's the stuff that you're talking about, and you're actually able to use the real thing in this obviously artistic representation and vision.
Well, when you think about modern times and consumerism, a lot of people who do recycle art, one of my teachers as a child, Bryant Holsenbach, she's a great Durham recycle collage artist, and they actually taking it back and kind of using it for something artistic makes a significant, I think it gives it a, you're making a statement by saying, look, here's a computer chip in my head that I've ripped out of an old computer, and this memory stick is representing memory or lack thereof. You have glass and ribbon and blood, natural elements as well as artificial. So they kind of, yes, the artwork is changing, and the way that we perceive it is changing as well. This piece is called Look Past, and it represents my vision of myself to my past. And it starts off with a blank digital photo that's been manipulated and distorted, and then with a colorful collage to the left, kind of reassessing who I was in the past.
For someone at the very beginning of your career, you deal a lot with memory and your past.
I definitely do. I'm constantly reassessing myself as an artist and an activist and an artivist in this world. I feel like art as an artist, I'm representing not only my opinion and how I feel, but also for people who look up to me as an artist, I want to represent something positive and going being able to reassess yourself and to question yourself constantly.
That sounds like you're imposing a lot of rules on your art. Can that interfere at all with the creative process?
Well, actually, going into to graduate school, my teachers have kind of said, "Calm down, Maya, everything doesn't have to have a point." But so I'm grappling with that going into school.
So I waited to about halfway through here before I brought up your great-grandfather. It was good of me not to do it right away. He talked about that, and it seems that he had that choice as well and turned aside the idea that he would get involved in what was called then the Negro movement and do overtly polemical work. He made a conscious choice to go into something else.
And, yes, Alan Freeland, my great-grandfather, was exemplary for his time. He got his master's. I have his thesis. I've read it. It was Can Art Be Taught by Someone Who's Not an Artist? And he definitely has been a role model to kind of take out restrictions. And that's where I think the tissue paper pieces come into play, where I've kind of let go of this literal visual narrative and gone into this exploration that kind of is up to the viewer to decide. And he was an impressionist, so he worked with a lot of landscapes outside, boatscapes, seascapes, and he's definitely been an inspiration. And as I grow and mature as an artist, I think I'm going to try a lot of different things, but I'm on my way.
Describe this particular work. What are we looking at?
We're looking at Genesis, and it's the first piece. That's why it's called Genesis. The tissue paper pieces emerged as a reaction to Katrina, and they're actually watercolor painting and bleeding tissue paper stacked on top of one another. And what's so interesting about them is because you can walk by them and they start to interact with you. They're not fixed to the wall, so any type of movement, breathing, really makes them reactive. So not only the anthropomorphic shapes in the image, but also the movement and the shadows that cast from the lighting become interactive with the viewer. So,
and it also looks to me like human organ tissue. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of human shapes, and as you can see for this exhibit, I go from a literal interpretation of a visual narrative to something more abstracted, and that's kind of what independence means. So you can see the connection between the two.
Should we talk about another work? This one is very bright.
This one is called Devolution, and it's actually a series of layered tissue paper, and then it was kind of ripped so that you could see through. And I like working with tissue paper because parts of different layers, it becomes very three-dimensional, and with all the crinkles and cracks, you can see a lot of intricate details behind. And I think it really makes you sit and watch it. And it's almost like cloud watching because things changed and you can see things as well.
Yeah, and it almost has a stained glass effect, except that you can see its tissue, so it's a much lighter texture.
Yeah, this piece, to get the colors and the richness, a lot of people comment they love the colors of the tissue paper. And I think being a great colorist, you have to know which colors are going to work together. I did hundreds of tissue paper pieces, and what's up are the ones that worked. They can get really muddy, and if you don't pick the right color combinations, you just know when something's working and when something's pleasing to the eye. So along with the water diluting the color, there's concentrations at the edges. And so again, thinking about Katrina and how water displaces color.
So there's a very large dumpster somewhere with red and blue tissue brimming over the edges. Tell us about this one.
Well, this is speech impaired. It's actually a drawing on drawing paper, and then there's a slice through the middle. It's I made it for my senior thesis show, just the drawing, which has two figures, one with the hand covering the mouth and one screaming out. And initially, when I made it, I was thinking about censorship and what that means to an artist in the art world. And I also did this at the same time I was making Hybridigitals and working with a lot of digital art. And I thought about permanence in the art world and what happens when you can hit the backspace button using digital, but you can't do that with traditional fine arts techniques. So the slash in the middle represents this permanence and what is taboo and not in the art world, or for something that's hanging on the wall, or what if I could print it out 20 times or 100 times or a million times? Does it exist, and is it as valuable as the original? And so that's kind of what Speech Impaired is about.
You know, this one reminds me of a work that you did earlier, and I'm not going to remember the name of it, but it's with Leonardo da Vinci's A Man in Balance, and there was a theme of censorship and finding your voice in that as well.
That's right. You're referring to Unbalanced, which was Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, which shows kind of the balance of what the human form looks like. And in that piece, I have my portrait, and then the Vitruvian Man is in front of my face. And it kind of, that one represented how do I see the art world from my own historical way? How do I fit into this art world? And why don't I know all the African-American artists, master painters, and what about everything other than European art?
In terms of influence and heritage, do you find that you have to struggle against a European art aesthetic, or is that not important?
Well, I can't deny growing up, also kind of a hybrid person, being disconnected from my culture, obviously because of the enslavement of Africans, I don't know exactly where I fit in. And that reflects itself all the time in my artwork, kind of struggling to find my own voice and who I am. So taking both, learning traditional European masters and studying African American art and African art, I feel like I try and find my voice in that way. And although it is difficult, I feel like it's becoming clearer for me.
What's it like to come home, have an exhibit here in Durham?
It was so great. The reception was amazing. It was packed. Everybody who knew me from school, I went through my whole school. I said, raise your hand if you remember me from here. And it was just amazing. Being away for 7 years and kind of exploring on my own, people are kind of like, I wonder what she's doing. So this exhibit has been, here we go, an example. And it was just received really well, and it felt great.
Artist Maya Freelon guiding us through her first hometown exhibit at the Hayti Heritage Center in Durham. The exhibit, Independence, runs through February 28th.